Blog Talk Radio.
Talking about Moses and the Israelites' struggles to fulfill God's will. And we're going to be really getting down to the point about Moses, especially just about, mostly about Moses and his ways of falling kind of short when God would have him to do things. He would kind of twist things in his own way. And it kind of reminds us of our own walk with Christ, how the Lord really tells us to do things and leads us to do things, but we kind of still try to waver to our own way and try to do our own thing and not trying to do what the Lord really showed us and pushed us to do. And I know many one of us has actually did that. You know, we'll be sitting there, you know, the Lord be giving us ideas and thoughts that we had no idea where it came from, to help somebody on the street or just to say something to somebody, or, you know, some people, it's in prophecy. He'll give them a whole, you know, whole thing to tell them. to help change their lives. And a lot of prophets and a lot of people that gets this, you know, they don't tell the whole thing that they got because, number one, it could be fear, it could be something in them, or it could be the person that they personally don't like. And a lot of times the Lord likes to surprise you and have you to do things and say things to people you really don't like. But the thing of it is, the Lord loves that person anyway, and he don't care what your struggles, what your situations is. He's using you for a vehicle to help another person. And that's what they did with Moses. He was using Moses to help the Israelites, to lead them to the promised land. And we're going to go into tonight how the Lord actually used Moses, but Moses kind of did things his way too. And we're going to see some of the struggles that he had tonight, what we're going to be talking about tonight. But one thing I like to talk about, you know, how many times, I mean, I ran into this one time after another in the last couple of weeks with people talking to me about this and different things is, you know, why do we feel ourselves treating other Christians badly and we treat sinners better? I've been hearing from many people. I've heard from some friends and stuff. And they're like, I wonder why I'm always treating sinners I'm trying to bring to the Lord better than I am my own Christian family. And a lot of times the Lord, you know, gives me messages about this. And the messages he's been giving me today about this situation is a lot of times when we see our Christian family, it represents us. And when we have problems within the Lord, and problems we're holding back from the Lord, our Christian friends reflect that back to us. Through them, we're seeing our problems, and we don't like our problems, so we treat them in disrespect because we're seeing our problems in those people. See, when we take ourselves away from the world, the only thing we can look at is our Christian friends because they're kind of like us and learning just like we are, and it identifies us with them. So when we're talking to our friends, and another thing is, as you do any family member, you treat your family different than a regular Joe because your family's closer and you know they love you and they'll love you no matter what. So you can, you know, some people think they can say whatever they want to their family members, which that is not right. A lot of times you'll treat them worse than what you would other people. I've saw this around in my life too, is how people treat their families worse than they do other people. So that could be, you know, that's one thing too. But the thing of it is, when you're having problems with people, all those people is reflecting what's going on with you. So if you're having problems with people judging you or something like that, and when your friend comes and says something to you, all of a sudden you blow up. You're like, why did I blow up? Because it's triggering something in you that you're having problems with yourself. And when you deal with that problem in yourself, have the Lord to search that out in you and reveal that to you where that can be taken care of, and then that trigger won't react anymore. So when you're having problems with a lot of people, look inward first. It's actually ringing bells to you. Maybe I've got some of my own stuff I need to deal with. Then pray to the Lord, have the Lord to reveal this to you, and he will reveal this to you and show you what the situation that your problems is. And at this time, before we get into this word of God that we're going to talk about Moses, I'm going to say a little quick prayer for these folks if they're listening to this. Father, I ask you to reveal to these people any situation that they got, I ask you to reveal this to them now in Jesus' name. I command all the little agitation that's going on with these people that when they look at their friends, it just agitates them. Lord, I ask you to reveal this to them and show them what is going on with them that they don't realize, and help them work through this. Better yet, just melt that out of their mind, out of their being. Just melt that away, Lord. In your holy name, Lord Jesus, just melt that away. Holy Spirit, just go through and melt that out of their mind, out of their heart, out of their system. If there's any word curse that somebody said something about them and it's kind of went inside and started messing with them, I curse that word curse. I command to leave their body now in Jesus' name. I command the Holy Spirit to go through them and clear them now in Jesus' name, because the blood of Jesus Christ cleans all sins free. Amen. Now, we're going to get back to the episode. I just had to bring that out because I had a lot of friends telling me this, and I just want to really get to that and really address that. But how you doing, Robert?
I'm doing great, Stan. How you doing tonight?
Doing pretty good.
Amen.
Doing pretty good. Amen. So we're going to talk about Moses and the Israelites' struggles fulfilling God's will. Robert, I think we've all had that problem sometimes, ain't we?
Yes, sir. I can tell you many times that I stepped out and did things, and it was good things that I did, but it wasn't the Lord leading me to do them when I did them. A lot of times we do things prematurely, and then the end result can be disastrous because we do it in our own timing and not do it when Father wants it done. And that's some of the things that I'd like to try to point out tonight about what happened in Moses' life and how that Moses made some decisions to do some things that really cost him and the children of Israel dearly. When we get into it, I'd like to point out a few things. But my own personal life, I have a number of things that I know that I did that I did it in my own strength, I did it in my own ability, and when I did, it cost me dearly, it cost me burnout, it cost me problems with people that I shouldn't have had because I just took matters into my own hands and did things the way I wanted them done, thinking that it was going to be blessed by God when it wasn't His plan or will for me to do it the way that it was done.
Amen. That's the way it normally happens, man. I mean, everybody has that story of where they think they went and they think the Lord told them, but they didn't really pray about it and really get to the Word and let God really talk to their heart because, you know, a lot of people can't tell whether it's God or their mind just telling that. And that's where it takes, you know, relationship. Relationship is how you know the difference.
That's right.
That happens to the best of us, man.
Yes, sir. It does. And when those things happen, a lot of times we're supposed to be taking preparation time. Even the Apostle Paul, he waited for years before he went out and started doing his thing. He went to the backside of the desert for a number of years. And he got things straightened out in his life before he started his ministry. And there's times when we need to do the same thing, time of preparation, getting our hearts and our minds renewed so that we can function and respond the way Father desires we respond. And a lot of times that's what's missing. We haven't dealt with self when we go out and start a ministry, when we open up and set up a church or something. We do it in our own strength and ability. Yes, it's good, but it's not the will of God. For a lot of people who are pastoring churches today to be pastoring churches, they've got a disaster on their hands in some cases. I've seen a many church fail because someone was in the pulpit that should have never been in the pulpit. They should have spent time in preparation getting their mind and heart prepared to be able to handle the Word of God correctly and deal with people. That's a serious, serious issue, being able to deal with God's people like Solomon did, for instance. Solomon had the right kind of heart towards wanting to give godly advice to God's people and lead them with his wisdom and understanding. Amen?
There is a lot of people that's ready, but they're scared to jump. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It could go either way. There's a lot of people that's ready that they don't know that they're ready, and it might be somebody listening out there. They know that they're ready, but they're scared to take that extra leap to start that church or start that church group. They just don't know what's gonna pan out. But brothers and sisters in the Lord, I'm gonna tell you something. What He's waiting for you to do, He's waiting for you to take that leap of faith. And then when you take that leap of faith, that's when you'll see Him work His best. is when you just jump out on a limb, and this is if you're ready, and you have that feeling that you're ready, you're just scared to get out there. But if you're ready, mm-hmm. take that leap of faith, and you'll see the Lord do, you know, tremendous things through your ministry, through your life. But if you're not really, if your idea is to set up a ministry is for your own will, what you can accomplish, all for you, and the Lord's out of it, you need to do a lot of soul thinking and checking into yourself before you start anything, because if you do, the Lord will pull the rug out from underneath your feet and your whole ministry is going to hit the ground, because I saw that. But we're going to get into what happened with Moses and his ministry. Go ahead, Robert.
Oh, okay. One of the first things I'd like to just cover is the fact that everybody, most everybody knows the story of Moses. Moses was born during a time in the history of the children of Israel when they were living in Egypt. The pharaohs had changed, and the one who was sitting on the throne at the time of Moses' birth was trying to kill all the male babies. He didn't want the children of Israel becoming a strong nation and an army that would one day possibly switch over and fight against them. So he started having the babies, male babies, put to death. And it's a miracle that Moses was able to survive. So right off the gate, his mother kept him hidden for 3 months. And then one day she made a basket and covered it in pitch and put him in it and floated him down the Nile. And Pharaoh's daughter finds the basket and finds Moses wrapped in probably a Hebrew blanket and then takes him. And Pharaoh's sister, Miriam, sees it and goes up to her and asks her if she would like for her to go find a nurse to come and nurse the baby for her. And Moses' sister actually goes and gets their mother to come and to nurse Moses for Pharaoh's daughter. So she gets paid to nurse her. He gets to live in the palace, and he gets raised in the palace. And Moses is taught and trained as an Egyptian, and he's taught and trained as royalty. So this man, he was a miracle, and he gets to reap all kinds of extreme benefits from being just raised in Pharaoh's house. And one of the things that was taking place there I'd like to just touch on is Satan was trying to stop the seed of promise. You've heard me mention this before, Genesis chapter 15, chapter 3, verse 15, Father promised that he was going to cause a seed born of a woman to be born into the earth, a redeemer, someone who was going to deliver humanity and set humanity free. Satan killing these babies is just another attempt to try to stop the deliverer. So it's a miracle that Moses gets spared the way that he gets spared. His name means to be drawn out or to draw out. He was drawn out of the water, raised in Pharaoh's home, and he got to reap all these awesome benefits. He grows up and becomes a mighty man. And, you know, we have seen the movie. Have you seen the movie Ten Commandments?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. We've seen that movie. That movie does have some truths in it, but it's a theatrical expression of something biblical, and they didn't get a lot of things right. I watched that movie a number of times throughout the years. I own that movie, and it's good to watch. It's exciting. But there's a lot of things that movie does that is not correct and true to the Word of God. And you have to really study and pick these things out to be able to see where they error, because this is Hollywood production versus this is what really happened according to the Word of God. Moses grows up.
Have you ever saw the animation that DreamWorks did of Moses? I think it came out maybe a couple years ago or something. It was a pretty good movie.
You talking about the Prince of Egypt or
Yes. the Prince of Egypt.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was a good cartoon. I know which one you're talking about. Yeah, that was a good one. But this one in particular, Moses, once he grows up and he finds out he's a Hebrew, but in Exodus chapter 2, it doesn't tell us how Moses found out. Verse 11 through 15, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked unto their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. He looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian, and he hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews were fighting, and he said to them, that to the one that was doing wrong to the other, "Why are you beating your brother?" And he said, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? You intend to kill me like you did the Egyptian?" And it says, Moses feared and said, "Surely what I've done is known." Verse 15 says, "Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well." I'm going to stop reading there, because what I want to point out is, in what I just read, it does not tell us how Moses found out that he was a Hebrew. You know where you can find out in the Bible where Moses actually found out some things about his past, about his history? It's written in the book of Acts, chapter 7. Stephen, the first martyr for the church. Stephen, in his history lesson to the Sanhedrin and the Jewish leaders, gives discourse about Moses. And when he did, over in Acts chapter 7, verse 20, Stephen said this in verse 20 through 30. I won't read it all for the sake of time. "In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house for 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds." That's verse 22. "And when he was a full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel." Did you hear that? Verse 23. Yes. The Holy Spirit revealed to Moses that he, when he was 40, that he was a Hebrew. It says, "When he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian." Now here's why Moses did what he did. Verse 25, "For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not." Did you hear that, Stan?
Sure did.
Moses supposed that the children of Israel, his brethren, would understand that the Lord was going to use him to deliver them, but they didn't understand. "The next day he showed himself unto them, and they were fighting, and would have set them at one again, saying, 'Sirs, you are brothers. Why do you wrong one another?' But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, 'Who made you a ruler and judge over us? Will you kill me like you did the Egyptian yesterday?'" Listen to this, verse 29, it says, "Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons." So Moses fled when he heard that he was found out. Moses fled. Moses didn't flee because Pharaoh knew it. Moses fled when he realized that somebody else knew what he had done, He fled then. Okay? Now, what I said I'd like to talk about and how I'd like to show Moses took matters into his own hands and he did things that he shouldn't have done. Moses supposed that his brethren would understand that he was going to deliver them. Well, what happens after Moses flees? Moses is gone for 40 years into the wilderness of Midian. He finds a wife, they have children, and then one day, after 40 years of being gone from Egypt, he sees this awesome sight on Mount Sinai. And this burning bush that he sees, he's attracted to it, and he goes to it, and the Lord speaks to him and tells him that he wants him to go to Egypt and deliver the children of Israel from the bondage. Well, if you look in Genesis chapter 15, Abraham, Father Abraham, the first Hebrew, the first Jew, Father promised Abraham in Genesis chapter 15 that he was going to give him an heir to the kingdom that he was giving Abraham. Father said in verse 13 of chapter 15 also that the children of Israel are going to be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve the Egyptians. And that he doesn't say Egyptians there, but we know who it is. And they shall afflict them for 400 years. That's the key. Listen to that part right there. For 400 years, the children of Israel are going to be afflicted by their oppressors. All right. For 400 years. Well, Exodus, when Moses leads the children of Israel out of Egypt, it was a total of 430 years when he led them out of Egypt. Exodus chapter 12, verse 40 and 41. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Okay, Genesis 15, Father told Abraham his people would be in bondage for 400 years. We just read in Exodus 12, verses 40 and 41, that it was 430 years that they were enslaved. Where did the extra 30 years come from? The extra 30 years came from Moses taking matters into his own hands, supposing that his Hebrew brothers would understand that he was the deliverer. And when it backfired on him, Moses went into the wilderness and hid himself. For 40 years, he went and hid himself. And during that 40 years, I'm sure that he was able to deal with himself. He unlearned some things that he had learned, because we know that Moses tells the Lord that he's not able to speak. He's not skilled. And we know that Scripture says, even Stephen said, that Moses is highly skilled. Moses, even in secular arenas, Moses was a historical figure. It is known, a known fact, that Moses was like a general who went in, and the biggest spoil that ever came into Egypt came through Moses capturing Ethiopia, and that part is true and depicted in the movie The Ten Commandments. Moses was a general. He was a mighty man, and he had influence. He was raised in Pharaoh's house, and he had the best of everything, the teachers and food and clothing, and you name it. This man was well-learned, but he But he tells Father God Almighty, I can't speak. I can't do this. That's after being in the wilderness for 40 years. For 40 years, some of who he was, that self-centered, that self-willed part of him had been dealt with. But before it was, Moses taking matters into his own hands cost the children of Israel 30 years of extra slavery because he did something in his own ability. Had he been patient and allowed the Lord to show him what to do while he was still in Egypt and not take matters into his own hands, it would have only been 10 years longer that they would have been enslaved before they got delivered out of Egypt. So this is what I mean by him struggling to fulfill God's plan. There was a number of times that even after Moses delivered the children of Israel, helped get them out of Egypt, that he was still still allowing himself to get in the way and do things. There was times where he would say things that would cause problems with the children of Israel. And one of the biggest ones you can read in Numbers chapter 13. When the Lord told Moses to take and send the spies to look at the land that he had promised Abraham and Isaac and Jacob that he was going to give to his people, Moses told the spies to go and check out this land. But when you get there, I want to know how many people are there, how big they are, how little they are. Moses told them to go in there and look for things and check out things that they weren't even supposed to look for. Chapter 13, verse 18, he said, look at the land, see what the land looks like, and see if the people there, if they're strong or they're weak, few or many. He said to look and see if it's good or bad, see if the cities that they dwell in, if their tents are in sides of mountains. He said, let me know if the land is fat or lean, if there's wood in it. He said, be of good courage and bring back some fruit from the land. Father told Moses to just send them over there and look at, you know, kind of survey what was there for them. Moses told them to do some things more, adding to what Father told them to do. If you look back at the promises that Father made with Abraham, he told him what he was going to give him. He told him what he was going to give his descendants. That land belongs to Israel today. Father told him what they were going to get. So Moses adding to created a problem. The spies, when they came back, talking about, hey, there's giants in the land. We look like grasshoppers to them. There's no way we're going to be able to defeat them and take this land from them. The 10 of the 12 spies came back with an evil report based on the information that Moses gave them when he sent them to spy out the land. But we know that there was two, Joshua and Caleb, who went in there and they did what they were supposed to. And they looked at the land and they said, wow, this is good. This is great. Man, we can do this. We can do this. The Lord will give this to us. They came back with a good report, and they said, you know what, it's true what they said, there's giants out there, but that doesn't matter. The Lord is going to deliver this in our hands if we don't rebel against him. So mm-hmm. What I'm getting at is this, these guys, they followed their leader, and the children of Israel did not get to go into the promised land if you were over 20 based on the information that the spies brought back, but the spies brought back what Moses told them to go and bring back. a sad situation. But we know the end result. The result is these people got to come, and they still got to go in, and they were able to possess the land and be blessed of the Lord. And it's still true today that this land Father has given them still belongs to them. And this situation, you mentioned it earlier, we all go through this. We all have issues where we have to try to get ourselves out the way so that God can use us. And that's what Moses had to do. Part of the 40 years of being in the wilderness of Midian was getting and dealing with Moses' attitude, the self-will part of him that had grown up in Egypt, that had learned how to be a king, because that's what he was being conditioned to be, a king. And it was hurting him from and keeping him from doing what the Lord really desired for him to do, the way that he desired that it be done. Amen.
Amen. I mean, I'm just thinking of all the things that, you know, everybody has been conditioned for, and they have no idea. They don't even realize what they're being conditioned for a point in their life that the Lord has this great big plan for them, and they're being trained right now by their parents. They're being trained by their surroundings. They're being trained at their job. They're being trained at their school for a specific job that the Lord has for them, and they have no idea. A lot of us is going through this. We don't know what's going on. We just know that, you know, we're going through our everyday life, but the Lord has actually designed our life to train us for a specific purpose you're going to do for him. He had it planned out before you was born. He already had it planned out what you was going to do. But the thing of it is, when we look at our lives, we're like, man, we ain't found the Lord yet, and you know, we're still concentrating on ourselves, kind of like Moses. He didn't even expect that he's going to even find the Israelites. He didn't know who the Israelites was except for his slaves. That's the only thing he knew.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know that, you know, his maid, you know, the maid that came in and breastfed him with his mom. He had no idea of that. So he was being trained. He's been trained all that time, even being a general in the king's army, and being real close to all the higher ups in Egypt. He didn't know that that was going to be, you know, a key figure or a key point for him to have to move the Israelites out. He had no idea that. So what in your life has the Lord really used? Maybe you've had a bad childhood. Maybe you weren't treated right when you was a child. Now, well, how can the Lord use that to help the kingdom? Maybe there's other people that's going through struggles from, you know, maybe they're a child going through struggles in their home. Maybe you can counsel them. Maybe you can talk to them. Maybe you used to be a battered wife. You went through a lot of stuff for years. Maybe you could help another battered wife. Help her through her situation. I mean, there's many things that you went through that nobody else can do except for you. That's that specific purpose, you know, that God has designed you for. Now, don't get me wrong. That, you know, what you went through is hard, and the enemy fully designed a lot of that, but the Lord is using that for his will. He knew what the enemy was going to do, and he was like, well, I'm going to redo this for my will. And this person is going to be the best counselor that there's going to be. And I'm going to win so many souls for my kingdom through this lady right here, or through this guy right here, through the things that he's been through, that he's learned, and he can help these people in specific places. And, I mean, just open your mind to see what the Lord can use you for. I mean, it could be, I mean, maybe you drive a taxi cab. Maybe a church needs somebody to have a shuttle bus to take elderly people back and forth. You already have that skill of driving around town. You know all the streets. Maybe you could drive that shuttle bus for that church. I mean, you have no idea what the Lord can use you for. Any little thing that you do that you're good at, the Lord can use you for that.
mm-hmm.
that you've already been trained in. You already got specialized in that. And you have no idea that the Lord can use you. Maybe it can be for a church. Maybe it can be for, you know, Meals on Wheels. I mean, who knows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But God is
right.
always going through your life and training you for specific things that you have no idea. But one day, he would open that door and let you see that it, the Israelites, let you see what your purpose is for.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Everybody has their purpose, but when the right time comes, he will reveal it to you. And just be willing. Just be willing to run to the Lord. Accept the Lord into your heart. Let him reveal those purposes to you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, to conclude the lesson tonight about Moses, what a few things I got jotted down here. God the Father was not going to use Moses' military might to deliver his people, but rather Father planned on using some supernatural events through faith to deliver his people. This is one of the things that Moses wasn't focused on. Moses was focused on his self-will, focused on his learned abilities, instead of focusing on, because he too did not know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he wasn't focused on the Father using supernatural events through faith. Father had to get him on point. Father told him to take the stick in his hand, lay it down, it turned into a snake. And then he told him to grab it by the snake by the tail. Moses ran when the stick turned to a snake. Then he came back and Father told him to pick it up by the tail. And he picks it up by the tail, which is a telltale sign to us that Moses did not fear losing his life. Because a snake, you grab it by the tail, it can turn and bite you. He reached out and grabbed it by the tail when the Lord told him to. So that was him trusting God. He had got to a place where he trusted God. Then Father told him to stick his hand in his clothing, and he pulled it out, and it turned white like a leper. And he stuffed it back in. It came back out clean and restored to its original condition. So Father had to show him some things to get him focused on how he was going to deliver the children of Israel and get Moses off track of trying to do it by some military might, things that he had learned. Next, Moses could have stayed in the palace if he had kept his cool. Moses was more than likely supposed to stay in the palace instead of going out into the wilderness of Midian and spending the 40 years there. Had he been patient for 10 years, he would have avoided the 40 years in the wilderness. And last but not least, what we just talked about, the same thing happened to me through a lack of patience. Back in 1998, I heard the word of the Lord. I had a change in my life. It was so dramatic, the greatest revelation I've ever experienced in my life. And within just a few years, I was out doing crack cocaine, messed up, doing things so wrong, Stan. And at the same time, if I had stayed on track to where I was and renewed my mind and just allowed the Lord to prepare me for ministry, I could have been doing great and mighty things for the Lord today had I not lost focus back then. I did the same thing Moses did, and through a lack of patience, through trying to do things my way, I caused myself to come up short and not fulfill the plan of God when he wanted the way he wanted it done. And I know this today, you know, that's why I'm at the church that I'm going to. The Lord spoke to me, and I heard him like I'm talking to you, say, get up and go to First Christian Church. And I've been there ever since. And he has matured me and perfected me in so many ways through the preparation time for the past 5 years of me being where he told me to go, doing what he has told me to do. Amen.
Amen.
That's awesome, Robert. It's awesome how he
like I said, he transformed each and every one of us. And, you know, I even went through a lot of stuff myself the last couple of years. And, you know, I went from unity to full Christian ministry. And it's, you know, it's a transformation. And the Lord lets you know when you're ready. A lot of times you have no idea what's going on until he sends you the bulletin. You know, it might be a whole complete change. He might just take you out of the church, whether you know it or not. But he has his ways of blowing the whistle on you and tell you that, you know, what you're doing now ain't what he has plans for you. And you're his. You know you're his, but you don't realize that. I mean, you know, but you don't know. And then when he reveals that you really are, and he is your father, and he is controlling your life, then the bulletin is given to you, and you're like, wow, yeah, that's what the plan is. And a lot of times, what is so different about a prophet going through a transformation? He is told in detail what's going to happen to him, but it's up to you to believe it. You know? That ain't going to happen to me. That ain't going to happen to me. And he'll lay it out in like plans. Well, next year you'll be doing this. The next year you'll be doing that. And now you've heard all these plans for all these other people for you to tell them, but when he starts laying out all the plans for you, you don't believe it. So then after the weeks and the months go by and the years go by, you're like, that was for real, you know. So he has everything planned out. Everything was planned out before you was conceived, before you was conceived out of your mama's womb. Everything was wrote down in tablets that everything is going to take place that you had no idea, but the only way it could fully take place is for you to accept Christ as an adult or a child, however it was. That was one point that you had to do. You had to accept Christ for all this to take place. A lot of people don't believe that. They're like, well, we could have went through that anyway. No, you had your own will, and your own will was between you and the enemy. And it was your will and basically the enemy manipulating you the rest of the way. So
that's
what
right.
it all is. So once you accept the Lord in your life, then he can go on with his plan, and he can unravel things slowly for you where you can consume it. Now, a lot of people, I have heard situations where he just kind of like dropped the whole shebang right in front of them and say, there you go. But he knew deeply down that this person was ready for that. So there's a lot of people ain't ready for it. It's more of a slow process, kind of like you, Robert. You said you had a ministry going and something didn't work right, and you kind of fell short at a time. And maybe that was even a training period for you, and you had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But what's up for you now? See, a lot of people build a ministry so big, and then they lose it all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to build a ministry small or start one, and then you fall short, and then you've got so much losing, you have time to sit back and think what you're doing, and the Lord will probably do it. Most of the time, when a person is going into the ministry for all the right reasons, and then, but they still got that complete thing there that the Lord will let them get so far and get a taste of it, and then drop the ball, let them drop the ball for them to go back to rethink things, and then when they get everything rethinked, kind of like you said Moses did, and then the whole thing will bloom. It'd be like a blooming flower, a full thing will bloom. See, if you really think, Robert, if you didn't lose that at that time, what you're doing now probably would never bloom. You probably wouldn't be where you are today.
Yes. That's
so
true.
It was really a miracle that you did drop at for you to have what you're having today and how the Lord is blessing you in your life today. So
amen.
It's kind of like sitting back and looking. I mean, we don't really see the whole plan until it's you know, we're going through it, and we can sit back and see how everything fit right into place, that the Lord had it all in his hands the whole time, and we thought we did.
Yeah.
We was just foolish thinking we had anything to do with it, you know.
And Stan, you can testify to this to our listeners, that there on my job, on our job, there are at least 10 to 15 people that I am discipling to Christ every day right now. And we have
Amen.
Bible studies, lives being changed. People come in, drivers come in off the road. They walk in our department, in our plant, and we are, if they say they're sick, we're laying hands on them, seeing people get healed. We're seeing people come to Christ when they come into our plant. We're ministering love and life to people when they come to the Lord. Is doing a mighty work in that plant. Lives are being transformed in that plant. And there was 5 years ago when he told me to go where I'm going. 5 years ago, I had some issues in my life that I wasn't dealing with, and my relationship with the Lord was struggling. And when I obeyed him and did what he told me to do, it has positioned me here on this job where I've been now for almost 10 years. It positioned me in the right place with the right attitude to put God first and to demonstrate love to everyone as he loves. And everything has
Amen.
Fallen into place. Amen.
Mm-hmm. He had all that planned out ready for you. And a lot of times, like I said, we really don't see that at that time. We're like, man, we really screwed up. You know, man, we really messed this up. I don't know how I'm ever going to get back where I was. And all of a sudden, the Lord just refurbishes you and sends you through the grinder, where when you come out the grinder, you look like a finished product that he's ready
yeah.
to use. And sometimes mm-hmm. we've got to go through that. And, you know, that's really a word to go out to a lot of these people that's looking at ministry all the wrong ways. And, you know, when you take that challenge, you know, he opens that door, and you're going to, if the Holy Spirit ain't working through you, you're going to have a lot of challenges.
Come on.
You're going to fall quite a bit, because I know.
Say it good.
I'm going to say 4 years ago, when I got ordained, I had no idea what I was getting into. Now, I did get ordained as a Christian minister. Lord was using me in a Unity church, though, which is a Christian-based church. After that day, I got ordained in front of a minister. My life changed. That's because I was being used by God every day of my life to minister. Not only in a church, I was being used in a Sunday school room. I was being used for the ministers there to minister to them. I was being used for the congregation. I was being used for my family. I was being used for everybody. And I had no idea what I was stepping into. It was just like everybody I would run into, there was a ministering situation there for me to do. Mm-hmm. And the thing of it is, when you're working for the Lord, he shows you what to do. He sets up situations. It's kind of like, I'll say, well, we're running plumb out of time, but, you know, I'm good. Anyway, the situation, see, he already has you lined up. And one thing that I've learned is if you don't fall through with what he has somebody else lined up to fall in there. I had a situation where this guy, he had some type of brain cancer going on, and I've been praying for him for a while. I've been going to his house, talking to him and stuff, praying for him. And there was a night when it got real bad, and it's before I got into ministering and laying on hands and all that stuff. I didn't get into that yet, and I was just a regular minister. And, I mean, I was kind of getting there, but I wasn't really there yet. But I wasn't in it that good. I wasn't that anointed yet to really get into it, to understand it. But anyway, what I did, I prayed for the guy. He had things happen to him. He had, you know, he got where he could get out of the hospital. He got out of the hospital, started doing good, and it hit him again. And he wasn't right with the Lord. He wasn't right with the Lord at all. I didn't get a chance to go through all that. and a lot of things came out. And the Lord was pushing me to go, but I couldn't get there. So the Lord sent another minister that helped him out, thank God, and really got him to give himself to the Lord and got his soul straightened out and all that stuff. But let me know there that the Lord has people on the side wing waiting to do what, if you don't get to do it, he'll bring somebody in there to do it. But he's wanting you to do, see what you'll do with this guy. He'd rather use the first guy he asked than the third and second guy. So it's, you know, it goes on like that. And I can't tell you how many times when you get ordained and you tell the Lord that you're his servant, the whole ball game changes for your life. And it never stops. I don't care if you're retired. I know some old ministers, they're still ministering people at supermarkets that they're working. So, you know, it don't stop. It keeps on going.
Yep.
And trust me, a lot of people, now, I know this one guy, he got ordained for all the wrong reasons to meet people, okay? That's the wrong reason to get ordained is to meet people. You don't do that. And the Lord turned his world upside down that he had to give up. People came for him wanting this and wanting that. He didn't have the right tools, I'll say, in the toolbox to do that.
Mm.
And all the ones that it was specifically designed, specifically stood up for the test. Now, when you first became a minister, he will test you like you would a new tool. You know, like if you get a new fishing rod, you're going to test that thing. You'll see how good that thing works. That's how the Lord's going to work with you. He's going to check you out and see what's going to happen with you. And he already knows what's going to happen, but he just wants to see the struggles and all that to see how he can straighten you out. But anyway, he will do that. And when you get in ministry, he does that. So I'd like to tell everybody, they're ministers. I mean, the ministers, they really go through it, and the Lord uses them in many different ways. Always be sure to be polite to your minister. Try to help them out because the Lord is using them, and he will use you as well. But there's many different classes and ministry, and yours is your everyday life. I mean, not only at a church, but yours is in your everyday life. Minister to your children. Minister to your coworker. Minister to, you know, your best friend that's going through that struggle with a marriage or something. Just be there, and that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be the walking church. The building ain't really the church that Christ talks about. When he was up there in front of the Pharisees, and he said, you will tear this temple down in 3 days, and I will raise it up. The temple he was talking about was himself, his body. You are the temple of God. When you receive that Holy Spirit, you became a temple of God. So that church that everybody talks about is you. It's not a building. It's not where you're meeting at. It's what's on your two feet is the church.
Amen.
And the thing people don't realize, the first churches was house meetings. The first churches was house meetings. They wasn't multi-billion-dollar churches. There was like a few people in a room. So that's how the first churches started. And That's one thing we've got to realize is that it doesn't have to be a multi-million-dollar church. It could be one guy here ministering to the sick, ministering to their coworkers, and that's what we're doing. That's what Robert's doing, and Lord's really using Robert to do many a great thing in his kingdom.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
But we're out of time, way out of time. We're going to go ahead and get into a song. Thank you, Robert, for coming on and ministering to us today.
Thank you for having me on tonight, Dan.
It's always a pleasure, and we'll see you Wednesday night. And this Saturday we're going to have Amos. He's another minister of healing out of Pete Sobrero's organization, and he'll be on here Friday night around 8:30, and I will get that set up here pretty soon for the advertisement for it, but I just thought I'd advertise it. He's been working in the power of God for a couple of years and saw a lot of miracles and a lot of things that's going around in Pete Sobrero's camp over there, how the Lord's working with them, and he will be telling you a lot of great things, and I just look forward to it. And from now, you know, we'll see you all Friday night. God bless every one of y'all. Of God, pass all understandings and fall upon y'all and just touch you in your heart. See y'all Saturday.
Good night.
I'm coming back to the start where you found me. I'm coming back to your heart. Now I surrender. Take me, 'cause this is all I can bring. Here we go. Come on.